Our reading this morning is from Genesis 22, reading verses 1 to 20. And the reason we're departing from our study of Thessalonians is that we're beginning our reflections on the Easter season. And so I wanted to do that and to look at a few Old Testament passages before we got into Palm Sunday, so I wanted to start a little early. So we're going to start this morning by reading from Genesis 22. Genesis 22, verses 1 to 20. Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. Then he said, Take now your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning, and saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac, his son, and he split the wood for the burnt offering, and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, Stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here I am, my son. Then he said, Look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. So the two of them went together. Then they came to the place of which God had told him, and Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order, and he bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. So he said, Here I am. And he said, Do not lay your hand on the lad, or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the place, the name of the place, the Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, By myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is on the seashore, and your descendants shall possess the gates of their enemies. In your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned to his young men, and they rose and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. So far the reading of God's word. Dear people of God, as I've said, we begin our reflections upon Easter by looking backwards into the Old Testament as it lays the groundwork to help us understand and identify the Savior and his redemptive love which was manifested in his atoning sacrifice on the cross. And so we begin today by looking at God's testing of the love of Abraham towards him. He had already blessed Abraham. He had already called him out from the Ur of the Chaldeans. He had already made promises to him. He had already fulfilled some of those promises by giving him a son of promise. Even though he hesitated, of course, and they had Ishmael, nevertheless, God fulfilled his promise and gave them a son who was, of course, the heir of the covenant. It was with Isaac that God would make the covenant. But I wonder if in your minds the question arises, as I read the passage, why would God test Abraham? I mean, Abraham left his country. He followed the Lord wherever he led him and brought him to this land. Abraham, in a sense, gave up his life to follow the Lord. And now God tests his love. And of course, the question behind that question is, well, doesn't God know? I mean, didn't God know that Abraham loved him? I mean, God knows everything from the beginning to the end. He knows the very thoughts of our hearts. Of course, the answer to that question is absolutely God knew that Abraham loved him. So, why test him then? The other question is, why test him so severely? I mean, with the rich young ruler, it was sell everything that you have and come and follow me. Well, in that sense, the test had already been passed. Abraham left everything and followed the Lord, and followed God. So why this severest of tests? The sacrifice of his son. The test was not severe in that sense. I mean, it was severe, certainly. But there was a good reason for it. Nothing to do with God doubting whether Abraham loved him, but rather of God taking this opportunity of manifesting. First of all, the fact that Abraham did love him, so that Abraham might be certain, that Abraham might have his faith confirmed. But secondly, so that Abraham could see in a far more intimate way the love of God towards Abraham. So that God could manifest. Abraham, you love me, and I want you to know that. I'm going to show you that. But what I want you to know is that I love you more than that, beyond that. And here was a way of God bringing Abraham to seeing that as clearly as he could from that distance. I don't know. I mean, I do know, because we all go through that experience of losing a loved one, whether it be a husband or wife or daughter or son or other relatives or friends. And the question is, how do we respond towards God in those times? I mean, in a sense, it's a similar test, isn't it, to Abraham? It's a similar test. Where our loved one is taken from us, how do we respond? Anger at God? Why would you do that to us? Well, God doesn't love me. You know, those times we need to talk to ourselves and say, look, you've gone through this experience of losing a loved one. Either maybe it was disease, maybe it was accident, you know, whatever the circumstances, and our loved one is taken from us. But God gave his son to us when there was nothing wrong with him. There was no disease. There was no obligation. In fact, God had the ability not to stop that happening. Just imagine if we had the ability to stop our loved ones dying. No one would ever die, would they? No one would ever die. But God willingly gave his son. It helps us to enter in to the sacrifice that the Father made for us, which is the focus, of course, of our reflections at this time of Easter. Of Abraham, we are told in Hebrews, as I read, that he offered his only begotten and beloved son, in whom were wrapped up all the redemptive and covenantal promises. And so I believe that this is a very helpful passage to, in our reflections of this season that is coming upon us. So the first thing that we want to look in this passage is found in verses 1 to 4, which is that this was a selective test of love. In other words, it was chosen. It was taken on. It was initiated by God. Not only was this test initiated so that God could grant Abraham a means of seeing and appreciating the love of God towards believers. Remember what Jesus said about Abraham? Abraham rejoiced to see my day and saw it and was glad. Now I wonder what that in your mind, what that alludes to. I mean, did Abraham have some special revelation? Is that what the reference is to? Or perhaps is it this incident? That in this incident, in this experience, Abraham saw the day of Christ and saw it and was glad. As I said before, Abraham had lied in regard to his wife Sarah, therefore in that sense doubting God's ability to protect him, and so finding an alternate way. But sometimes we fall into that trap. The way of faithfulness seems too difficult, and there are consequences, and sometimes we don't want to face those consequences, so we skirt around it. Well, Abraham had done that early on. In fact, Abraham had struggled with respect to Lot when Sodom and Gomorrah was about to be destroyed. And you remember the dialogue that went on between him and the angel of the Lord, right? Are you going to destroy the city if there's 50 righteous people and so forth and so forth? But he'd come a long way since then. And so God wanted Abraham to be sure in the light of those things. He wanted Abraham to be sure of the genuineness of the faith that he had and the love for God. And so this test gave him that opportunity. When Peter denied the Lord, it was a great blow to his assurance, I'm sure. How the devil would exploit that. But Jesus wonderfully granted Peter solace by testing his love in allowing him to say that he loved him three times. Peter, do you love me more than me? It grieved Peter that Jesus asked him that question three times. But it was for his own good. That he could voice what he denied repeatedly a number of days before. And then to go a step beyond that. Because not only did he say, Lord, you know everything, you know that I love you. But when the Lord Jesus Christ revealed to him that he would in fact lay down his life, Peter would lay down his life in serving the Lord Jesus Christ, he continued to follow. He didn't say, well, if that's the case, count me out. No, no, no. Which is the very thing that he was afraid of earlier on. So God, the Lord Jesus Christ, wonderfully and graciously gave him opportunity to express that and to display his love to the Lord Jesus Christ. So the question is, do you love God more than anything? I mean, do we love God more than anything? Would we be able to say, along with the Apostle Paul, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. As Jesus put it, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. Well, that was a test that Abraham was faced with. And Abraham accepted it. He didn't say, Lord, no. Any other test but this one. You know, I'll give all my money away. But not Isaac. He's the only son I have. He's a faithful son. I love him. Not him. There wasn't any hesitation on the part of Abraham. Here I am, he said. What is it? Well, I want you to sacrifice your son. Oh, it's early morning. Okay, let's go. Let's get the servants together and let's go. I mean, immediate obedience to God. As I said, I don't want you to think, oh boy, I'll never get there. No, 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 that's not the point. The point is that genuine faith will bring us to that point as we obey him, as we follow him. There'll be falls along the way. Look at Abraham early on. Look at Peter. There will be falls, but that's the goal. That's the goal. Are you moving in that direction? Or is it always going to be on our terms? It has to be this and no more. This is unreasonable for you to ask. I can't possibly do that. If that's our attitude, then we haven't really understood this season. We don't really understand what God did for us. Not at all. Again, as the Apostle put it, this light momentary affliction, he said, is not worth comparing. Not worth comparing with the riches that are ours, of course. But even more so, not able to be compared with what God suffered for us in the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Abraham didn't argue. He didn't fight with God. Simply said, here I am. And upon hearing the test, we read, he rose early in the morning and went to the place that he was told with Isaac. Little did Abraham know the blessings that awaited him there. Little did Abraham know the glory that God would reveal through this experience. And so he goes, people of God, don't fear such occasions in your life. Though we do not pray to God and say, oh Lord, please give me these experiences. We want to put ourselves out. Though we don't do that, let us never fail to recognize them and embrace them to our benefit and to the Lord's glory. Abraham was not brought kicking and screaming to the land of Moriah but rather came quickly and willingly, ready to do all that God had called him to do. As indicated earlier, this passage and incident is a poor, a weak, faint reflection of God's test of love, the love of God towards us. Nobody asked God. Nobody came to God and says, do this thing. But he, before the creation of the world, chose to love us and to undertake all that was necessary. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Even more amazingly, we're told, God demonstrated his love to us while we were yet sinners. Sinners. It's one thing for someone to give their life for their friends, lay down their life for their friends, but to lay down your life for your enemies? I mean, that's totally in a different world all by itself. The cross of our Lord Jesus is what Abraham was spared. But God's Son was not spared. He who did not spare his only begotten Son, but gave him up for us all. How assured we must be of the love of God. For if he did not spare his Son, then how in the world can we doubt that he's going to hold things back now that we are his children? How glad we are that God undertook to display his love towards us so that we would never doubt. But in the second place, it was a sacrificial test of love, as verses 5 and 10 indicate. It involved the giving of a son. As I said, one might ask, why could God not ask for some other test of love? As I said, was it not enough that Abraham left Ur and traveled to a foreign country? Hebrews 11 already indicates that in verses 8 and 10. This step was an act of faith on the part of Abraham and thus did manifest God's love, Abraham's love for God. But as I mentioned, God's purpose was to manifest to Abraham and to his descendants, us included, the greatness of his love towards us. And clearly, this particular test was designed for Abraham to see the day of Christ, namely the giving of God's Son as a sacrifice for us. Those that hurl abuse at God for the cross, you may be surprised at that statement, but they are. There are those that hurl insults at God because he ill-treated his son, would place Abraham in the same boat. But how foolish of them to say that. This was a manifestation of the greatness of God's love towards Abraham. Abraham knew what was called for, and clearly it was a difficult test because he did not tell Sarah or his servants or Isaac. Otherwise, Isaac would not have asked, Father, you know, we have the wood and we have the fire, but where's the sacrifice? If he had told him, he would not have needed to ask that question. But he wasn't told. He wasn't told. However, in his mind, he was fully willing and ready to obey the Lord and give him his son. We're not talking about giving the son to the Lord, as I mentioned in my prayer, as Hannah did, devoted her son to the Lord's service, took him to Eli, and he spent his days there working for Eli, and eventually, of course, God chose him to be his servant. No. We're not talking about that. We're talking about giving of his son to death as a burnt offering. And one cannot imagine the heart-wrenching decision this was for Abraham. It was unbearable to see his loved one go through death, especially as his son. But to willingly agree to it is even more heart-wrenching. Job was able to say, "The Lord gave and the Lord take away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." After not only all his possessions were taken, but his children, 7 sons and 3 daughters. Can you imagine the loss there? And he was able to say those things. But to be willing to agree to it beforehand, that's something. If God had come to Job and says, "Job, I want you to give up your 10 children. That would have been a different test. Well, Abraham had that test. How painful the dialogue must have been as Isaac wondered about where the sacrifice was. How at times we take our children to the hospital and find it hard to be honest with them about the dangers that they face. We can't discuss it. It's too painful. It's too difficult. The father, speaking about God, told his son everything. The Lord Jesus Christ, as he left heaven, knew exactly what was ahead of him. And what is so wonderful for us is that the Lord Jesus Christ was so zealous to do it. When everyone was telling him not to go down that path, even his disciples, his face was set towards Jerusalem, which was the place of his death. He was totally committed. There was no difference between the Father and the Son. No, the Son was willing. Not only was Abraham asked to give his son, but also to sacrifice his son. To do it with his own hands. You know, that was one of the good things about the Passover, was that not only were lambs killed, but the people had to do it themselves. So often it was a priest that did the sacrifice, right? But now they had to do it. They could see with their own eyes and experience with their own hands death taking place. And they could see with their own eyes and handle with their own hands the blood that was shed. And to put it on the doormat, it brought them closer to the reality. We can hear about God giving his son, God not sparing his son. But it's totally another experience to know what it is to take your son, to tie him up and place him on the wood, and then to take that knife and to be ready and in the process of plunging it into his body and to taking that life away. I mean, that's just unthinkable. But that's what happened. That's what we reflect on Easter. God himself is the one that brought down upon his son the penalty for our sins. He who did not spare his son means he who did not hold anything back in terms of what we deserve and poured it on his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who knew very well that that's what was happening when he told his disciples, "You're not able to drink of this cup that I'm going to drink of." Why? Because it's filled with the wrath and the condemnation of God toward our sins. It is that he took upon himself, and it is the Father that brought that upon him. It was he that bruised him. It's him that delivered those stripes with which we are healed. And that is something that is just beyond us. The knife was lifted, and it was ready to come down. And in that moment, in a sense, the heart of Abraham stopped. And then came those words of help. Abraham, Abraham, don't harm the son. Because God would provide a substitute. And that's what we have in the passage, the substitutionary test. And by the way, it was after Isaac was offered. You might say, well, wait a minute, he wasn't. No, he was. Because Abraham in his heart and mind had already done it. He'd already done it. Because that's the way Hebrews talks about it. Hebrews says he offered his son Isaac. In fact, Hebrews says he received him back from the dead, figuratively speaking. All the emotions that we would experience in doing it, Abraham experienced. In fact, you know, we start experiencing those things even before death comes. That pain overwhelms us. And it's just a matter of 1 second to the other. But we're already drained by that. And that's what Abraham was. Already he had adjusted himself to the fact of losing his son. And he was right there, ready to do it. And at the last moment, God stops him. No. Isaac was offered. That's why God says, now I know, and I want you to know that you love me, because you did not withhold your only begotten son. No, all the psychological blow that he would have experienced if he had killed Isaac, he already experienced as he made that journey, and as he laid the wood in place, and as he lifted up his hand with a knife to destroy him. But God provided a substitute. A substitute, in this case, of a ram. And Abraham saw it there. Didn't even have to go looking for it or find it. It was right there, stuck. And he took it. And he offered it up to God as a sacrifice with a heart that was bursting with gratitude and thanksgiving, because he had just received his son back from the dead. But what he had experienced in this provision, that he, though many years in the future, he understood what God was teaching him. So that he named that place to reflect that. The Lord would provide himself. I mean, every word is full of meaning. The Lord would provide himself. Not that the Lord himself would provide something. No. The Lord would provide himself. Himself. To be the sacrifice. That's the point. To be the sacrifice. Now he was provided with a ram. But later on, John the Baptist would say, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. No, he would be the Lamb himself. So that which was avoided, there was no avoiding. There was no sparing. The people says, he's crying out to God. Let's see if he's going to come and deliver him. He himself cried out to God. But no deliverance came in terms of the stopping of that hand coming down upon him. Though it came down in its fullness, with all the weight of God's justice, because God had provided for us a sacrifice for our sins. And now he confirms that in a promise. That in light of this, God entered into this. He took an oath that he would bless Abraham. He would bless his seed. He would multiply his seed. And that through him, all the families of the earth would be blessed. So this work of grace of God in our hearts isn't a one-off. It continues. God is faithful to us as he was to Abraham. God is able to do that work in us as well, to bring us to that point of laying down our lives for him. And that's a process. That doesn't happen overnight. But it will happen to each and every one of us. We will have our own Moriahs to go through, and we will have our own sacrifices to lay on the altar. And God will be able to bring you to that. But understand that experience that we'll have ought to help us to understand the sacrifice that God made for you and for me. And when God delivers you from those things, that you don't have to go through that pain and that suffering, remember, God did go through that pain and that suffering, so that it may open our horizons to the love of God towards us, that we might be equipped and ready as we go towards Easter to understand the fullness and the depth of God's love to us in a far more experiential way, so that we might truly walk with him in obedience and hold everything with open hands, so that he may take and give as he wills, and guide us to being faithful witnesses of him and be a blessing to all those around us. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you once again for impressing upon our minds, helping us to understand your great sacrifice for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. And our Father in heaven, we confess that so often it can become an abstract truth, a truth that we can say, but a truth that we cannot always enter into. And our Father, we're so thankful for such passages as these that really drive it home, that touches our emotions, our feelings, and indelibly writes it upon our hearts and minds. And our Father in heaven, we pray that as we follow this path, as we do every year, that we might get a more clearer and glorious look at the day of Christ, and along with Abraham, rejoice in it and be filled with hope and strength. For we pray these things in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us stand and respond as we sing.